Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. Well, today we have a guest back on our show that I know you guys loved the last time, and we did all the intros and all the good stuff. This time, we're going to take this a step further, and we're actually going to talk about an interesting topic on wisdom. All right. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about wisdom, maybe where that comes from. What, you know we're saying the wisest things? Are we giving the right type of advice? Some very practical things, but we also want to make sure that the Holy Spirit is the one leading the charge here. So we're going to talk about that today. So Angela Mackey is back on the show. So Angela, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this topic.
All right. So, well, let's just dive in. You know, wisdom to me is can be great if it's from humans, but it is beyond our understanding when it comes from the Holy Spirit, and it always seems to just work out. So I'm going to just let you take it from there.
Yeah. I mean, we need wisdom, right? There's so many things in this world we don't understand, complicated situations, and we're like, God, help us. And he does promise us in James 1 that if we ask for it, he's going to give it to us. The problem is sometimes we have a hard time distinguishing between, like you said, wisdom that maybe comes from the world versus wisdom that comes from him, from the Holy Spirit. And so what's really cool is in the book of James, God gives us a framework to kind of figure that out. So what does wisdom that comes from God really look like? And James 3:17 says this, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle. Some versions actually say instead of gentle, they say that it is considerate, and then compliant. And some versions say submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, or as some say, impartial, and then without pretense or sincere.
Amen. Amen. You know, and the thing is that wisdom, if we ask for it, God will give it to us. He promises to do that. And so, as a matter of fact, I think there was a king, he was asked by God, he would be given anything he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. Now, later on in his life, he didn't necessarily follow good, wise things, but at that time, he was definitely granted wisdom from the Lord. So I always have to throw that out there.
Definitely. I think it's so interesting that he did ask for wisdom and he had it. The question is whether he's going to pay attention to it or not. And that's, we have the same opportunity as believers, right? God says, if you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. But are we going to follow through with his wisdom, or are we going to follow through with the wisdom that maybe somebody else is giving us?
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. When there's the whole balance of, I'm getting all these voices. Which voice do you turn to?
Right. I think that's important. Right. And so this scripture tells us that the first part that we know that it's wise is it pure? And I think that even for myself, sometimes I'm like, well, how do I even know for sure? Because, you know, even my motives feel a little bit, you know, mixed up. So how do I know for sure that this is pure? So I love that he gave us way more than just one kind of test or framework for it to go through, because I mean, sometimes I don't even know my own heart. Doesn't God tell us that that's going to be hard for us, right?
Exactly. What we don't want to do is we don't want to bring presumptions and assumptions to the table. We have to remove those and make sure that we're not, we really have to test that spirit is what we have to do. 1 John 4 tells us to do that. Test the spirits, because not everything you get, every voice is from the Lord. And so the more spiritually that we are open, the more vulnerable we are to other voices. So we have to remember that and make sure that we learn to test that. Where does the test come from and what is it? Number one, the test is always Jesus came in the flesh and he is Lord. Satan cannot call Jesus Lord. He will not do that, because if he does that, that means he's bowing before him and he's telling us to bow before Jesus. He's not going to do that. And number two, whatever's coming, will always line up with the word. It will line up with the word. So if it's outside the word, you know it's not from God.
That's right. Yeah. So that's a really great sign of peace or of purity. But then the next one is peace loving. And so that's one thing that I think for us, especially as believers, we need to ask, are the words I'm getting ready to say true wisdom? Are they really truly peace loving? Now, this doesn't mean we can't say, sometimes we have to say things that people aren't going to like. I'm not saying that we can't, but is my goal not, you know, is my goal peace or is my goal to create division? And that is a really good question.
That's right. It is, you know, and there's times when I give messages, I don't tickle people's ears. I'm not here to tickle ears with the messages that I give. However, if you follow what's being said, it will lead to peace and connection with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That I can tell you. And I think that's really a key.
Because there's a difference between being ashamed and not saying the things that are true, and being peace-loving, looking for unity, working to show who God really is, and speaking the truth in love. And so I think that it's so cool that wisdom, pure peace-loving. And then the next one is gentle. And too often we in this world don't like gentleness. We think that everybody has to be strong and powerful, and that's the way. But I really think we lose out on something as believers when we fail to be gentle in the way we approach sin or the way we approach certain things, because what happens is people see the judgmental Lord and God, and they don't see his love. And yes, God is a faithful and righteous judge, but he is so loving.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I look at it like this. His wrath is great, but his love is greater. And so that's a good way to think of it when we're in looking in terms of presentation. So, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, Peter in one of his epistles talked about that. Present the truth, but do so with gentleness and love. I think he probably had learned a few lessons along the way to make sure that he did that. And so
we can be pretty well guaranteed, right? Because at some point, Paul did have to confront him and say, hey, you know, the way you're treating some of those Gentiles who are believers is not really right. And so I love that we have examples of even early church people not agreeing and figuring out how to approach each other in love so that unity is the goal. And forgiveness and reconciliation is really the key.
Amen. Amen. So, Angela, I'm going to throw this out. I always think this is a good tie-in when anytime you're talking about, you know, a biblical topic like this. Without using names, can you think of an example and where you saw, whether it was you receiving or you giving, where wisdom and kind of going through the process of the giving and receiving, you know, where that really took hold and it was of the Lord?
For sure. I think what I know that I've given wisdom in a way that was not received because I wasn't giving it with the whole peace loving and gentle and submissive and full of mercy way. And so I for sure know that, but I can also see times when say my parents were giving me wisdom or a friend was giving me wisdom, and I was able to, while I didn't necessarily like it, because a lot of times when people are giving you wisdom, it's because you're not being wise at the time. But when you can hear it, when it's given with out of this framework, with that gentleness and mercy and good fruits, and it's really intended to be impartial and sincere, it's more palatable to the person who's receiving it. And when that happens, that's when true life change can occur, because people can accept what the Holy Spirit's repeating to them through that wisdom. And it's easier to want to partner with that rather than to feel beaten down and told you're wrong and you're evil or whatever it is.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You know, one of the things too that I do, and when somebody's giving me wisdom or giving me advice, I will say, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you prayed about this? Because sometimes I'll ask them for advice and I'll be like, I really don't know if I want to hear from it right now. If you could pray over that and then give it to me, that'd be great. You know, pray and see what the Lord puts on your heart. And vice versa. I've had people ask me advice, and I'll like to just hesitate for a moment, and I'll just in my mind, Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to say here. You know, am I being led to say it, or am I just saying it based on my own human experience? And, you know, I like to be careful when it comes to human experience, because I can't see into the future, but God can. You know, so you want to be careful with how we present that. So I've always, I've learned to do that.
Right. Well, and if you slow down and do that, that also gives you opportunity to think through, is this really peace-loving? Am I really being compliant or submissive? Because sometimes we just, you know, if we don't like something, it's I bow up. But am I bowing up and I'm trying to give wisdom that isn't, or am I bowing up because that really is something that's not right in my spirit because of what the Lord is called? And then am I really presenting this in a way that's merciful, or am I coming down with some kind of judgment that really God didn't intend? So I love that this verse in James is so robust, because it can give us several different ways to make sure that any advice we're giving, but also any direction that we're searching for. Like if this is not causing peace or unity in the relationship, then we probably shouldn't be going this direction.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. I will say this. There have been some situations that I've been in where it did not bring peace between me and the other person, but I felt a sense of peace that I responded correctly to it. And part of it was that somebody in the situation was refusing to follow the Lord, refusing to follow the Spirit. If they are not going to do that, then there may not necessarily be peace between the two of you, but you will have a sense of peace if you're following the Word and you're following the Spirit. You will get a sense of peace from the Lord about the way you're portraying or working in that situation. So I think that is also important to clarify, because there is a lot of situations nowadays with how polarized society is that we could run into that. So, you know, we need to be cognizant of the fact that not every situation is going to turn out in this holier than thou art type of thing, and that everybody's going to act in a pious way.
So. Well, yeah, and not everybody's going to end up being singing Kumbaya, and we're not going to all be on the same page, because there is brokenness and there is sinfulness and all of that. But especially in relationships with other believers, especially with relationships with your spouse, especially with relationships that are important, like familial relationships. Now, they're not all going to be perfect. But when we can aim for true peace through the Holy Spirit first, but then secondly, in that relationship, God honors that. And I think a lot of times what happens with spouses is one spouse is really wise about this, another spouse is really wise about this. They come to two different conclusions. And instead of working things out together, what happens is one wants to go one way, one wants to go the other way, and there's no submission to each other. There's no peace loving. There's no seeking out a way to make sure that there's really good fruit coming from this. And so when we do that, we can really, really damage an important relationship. And so when we can seek to develop that peace with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's going to show that we really are walking in step with Him, and that's the wisdom that comes from the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well said. So here's another question. Now, we're talking about wisdom. I don't think we can talk about wisdom without talking about prayer, because at the center of all this has got to be prayer. I mean, you know, one of the expressions I like to use, do we have a prayerful attitude about how we approach everything? And when we're talking about giving advice and receiving advice and, you know, sharing wisdom, prayerfulness, I think, needs to be the first part of that. And so I'd just like you to comment on that.
Well, for sure. I mean, prayer is the way of humbling ourselves and saying, God, I don't know, but you do. And so we have to have that relationship with him if we're going to have any type of godly wisdom at all, right? And so having that relationship with him, having that prayer life with him, knowing and getting comfortable with what his guidance and direction looks like in our lives, because for each of us, God does that differently, right? Like what you hear, I mean, maybe it's not audible, but when you know it's the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you, the way you would describe that would be different than the way I would describe that in my life. But we always know that it would never take us outside of what the scripture tells us is true. It would never, like you said, if it's from somewhere other than the Lord, it would, you know, it wouldn't humble itself before Jesus. So there's all of these ways that we can, but if understand what wisdom is, but the best way is to just stay in step with the Lord. And the only way to do that is to have a healthy prayer life, because that's where we're really communicating with the Lord and then listening to his response.
Amen. Amen. And of course, in my prayer life, I want to be led by the word. I always think the thing, I guess, that I've started to really learn to do is that I don't just pray and read the word, but I pray the word.
That's right. Because that's the only way we know. Yeah, that's the only way we know that we're praying something that the Lord wants, right? Is if we're praying the word. So Lord, I know that you don't want any to perish. So I'm praying for my loved ones who don't know you. Lord, I know that you want us all to work in peace and unity. So I'm praying for peace and unity here. And for those who need to ask for forgiveness, if it's me, help me to humble myself and ask for forgiveness. But whatever it is, but if we're not, when we're praying those things, we know for sure that we're praying what the Lord wants. And then we can slow down and hear him show us how he wants us to behave from there.
Amen. Amen. Now, if we're reading the word and we're in prayer, then as we're praying, you know, one of the things that we want to obviously ask the Lord for is wisdom and knowledge. All right. Knowledge and wisdom, very much in faith, are three intertwined things, because without wisdom and knowledge, it's hard to have faith. And without faith, it's hard to ask God to impart those on us. So just maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, sure. I mean, I think it depends on who you are. I mean, there's some people who are just faith people. And so they're like, I don't need any knowledge. I just believe. And then there's other people who are like, no, I need all of this knowledge and just this little bit so that I can believe, you know? So I think it depends, but no matter what, you have to know what you have faith in.
Yep. That's right.
And if you don't know the Lord at all, if you don't know his goodness, his faithfulness, his righteousness, all of those things, his love, his mercy, it's going to be really hard to have faith in him. And then if you don't have faith in him, then you're not going to ask him for understanding. You're not going to ask him for wisdom. And then how are you going to know his wisdom and understanding? And so it's great that, like in Philippians, I want you to know about all the different depths and widths and all that of God's love, because that's when you really know who he is. And that's when you can really experience and understand his wisdom even better. So there's so many places in scripture where we see, like you said, those three things, wisdom, knowledge, and faith kind of going together.
Amen. And Paul would also address the Corinthian church about this. And he said, the wisdom of man is just folly to God. In God's most folly moment, he is wiser than the wisest man. I mean,
that's right.
So, yeah. So we always have to remember, and there's a movie I love to watch, and I've seen it several times now because it finally came out on Amazon. We bought it, and I saw it in the movie theater three times, thrice. So anyway, it's called A Great Awakening. George Whitefield. Okay. George Whitefield. I love the guy, and I love his sermons, his passion, and how he brought an awakening to the colonies. But if you listen to what he's saying so many times, he's preaching the word, but he's giving it in a way full of wisdom. You know, he is. And in one of my favorite scenes is him and Benjamin Franklin are there. They're flying, Benjamin's flying the kite and got the lightning storm and all that. And he goes, George, you're the lightning bolt. I'm just the lightning rod. And he goes, but guess what, Ben? Who's the source? Who's the source? And the wisest thing we can always remember is who the source of all great wisdom is. It's always right. from God. Amen. So, Angela, talk a little bit about your book again. Give us some, just a little bit of quick insight, because we're, believe it or not, we're already running out of time. We've got 4 minutes left here. But yeah, I know it goes fast. But give us a little more insight on your book.
Sure. It's difficult to conceive a godly perspective for the road ahead. And I wrote it for women who are dealing with infertility. And in this book, there's actually a section on wisdom, because we need wisdom about how to know what direction God's calling us on this journey. And so I talk about James 3:17 in there. There's so much in that book about how to walk through grief, how to talk to the Lord through it. And so prayer is a huge part of it. But just knowing that He is there with you, you are seen, you are loved, and God has a plan for you, and He will give you wisdom and direction if you ask Him for it.
Amen. 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 So, difficult to conceive. Angela Mackey has written this book. Make sure that you go to angelamackey.com. That is AngelaMackey.com. If this is a situation you're dealing with, make sure that you get on this link, get the book, do it today. Do not hesitate. As soon as this is done, you're not driving, go to a website and pick this book up today. That is definitely your call to action. So, Angela, you know, we're talking about wisdom. Maybe over here, this last couple of minutes, just give us some food for thought on this.
So, I think the biggest thing for me when it comes to wisdom is I like to think I'm really smart, and I like to think I already have it all together. And bottom line is I need to humble myself before the Lord, ask Him for wisdom, and then look at this framework from James 3:17. Is it pure? Is it peace-loving? Is it gentle? Is it submissive? Is it full of mercy and good fruits? Is it impartial? Is it sincere? If those things are not part of what I think is wisdom, then it probably isn't wise. And so trust the Lord and trust this framework so that we can really live lives that will glorify and honor God in all we say and do.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm gonna throw a little caveat. I'm gonna throw a little just kind of a good catchphrase. When we need to humble ourselves and realize that we're not the wisest on the planet, okay? That God is the only one that has that level of wisdom. This little phrase, what helps us? We have to give up our need to be right. But you have to give up your need to be right. When you give that up, God's like, now I can get to work, because you are stepping aside and you're putting me back on the throne where I belong and getting yourself at the foot where you belong. And I've had the Lord tell me that a few times.
As a child, I told my mom that there was a misspelling in the dictionary because I was right and the dictionary was wrong. So it's a deep seated problem in my life that God is constantly having to root out.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, it's great to have knowledge, but we don't want knowledge to puff up. And that is not a wise thing. And it really comes down to, we got to give up our need to be right. So,
that's right.
So Angela, just, you know what, let's wrap up, cause we got 1 minute here left. Give the audience a verse that they can go to, a quick passage verse that they could go to that would really help them kind of seal the deal here.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it. James 3:17. That's the one. Go there and find that framework that will help you. And then remember that verse in James 1. It's like James 1:5, I think, that says that if you ask God for wisdom, He will give generously to all, and He won't find fault in you if you need it. He's saying, I understand you need it. Please come to me.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, like I said, we're running out of time. I want to thank Angela for being back on the show. Love the topic. I love what you had to say about this. The Bible passage, guys, go to that Bible passage. Just take a look at it. Remember the phrase I gave you, give up your need to be right. And then use what she just said. Use that process, those kind of checklist things to help you understand wisdom and help you break it down. All right. Well, hey, and just real quick, folks, I want to remind you guys about JesusSaid.tv. Go and check us out. You can go to the website, JesusSaid.tv, or download our app on your Roku. Actually, Angela here belongs to an organization called ASA, and she is actually, ASA has partnered with JesusSaid.tv, and we're starting to load their programs on JesusSaid.tv. There's going to be, you're obviously seeing this one on there. If you're listening to the audio, one of our audio platforms, go to JesusSaid.tv. This show will eventually be on there and loaded. You can also go to tswrightspeaks.com. Check out my books. I've got Embracing the Truth, Victory in the Seven. If you want to have book orders, go to the bottom, fill out a thing, and send it to me. I can get you a little cheaper on Embracing the Truth. If you have your own ministry idea and you want your own TV show, we can discuss that. Again, fill out your information. Send it directly to me. But again, don't forget about JesusSaid.tv. Well, we're out of time, folks. Thank you guys for joining and being a part of this wonderful community. Thank you, Angela, for being on the show. We're obviously going to have you back on another time. I love the topic. She's got great ideas. And so when we have her back on, you need to have those ears pinned. I mean, you need to put away everything for this 20, 25 minutes and just take it all in. All right. Well, we finish as we always do. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Have you ever wondered what Jesus really wants you to do? Do you want to understand the calling that he has on your life? Come join us on the God-Centered Concept Academy on tuvu.com and join our community, and you will learn everything you need to learn about getting to your calling and what the model of the gospel is really all about. Being able to share your faith, understanding how to help build the kingdom of God as we are meant to do and as Jesus called us to do.